Welcome to Earnestly Contending for the Faith.com. This is Brother Mike Sutherland. Today we present part two in our two-part series that we have titled The Blood of Jesus. I would encourage you to go back and look at listen to part one in this presentation. And I would remind you that through the link that is on our website, we link back to the document that we are using to prepare this particular series with. I would encourage you to download that particular document. Today, we're going to pick back up in our study on the blood of Jesus by reading reading Hebrews chapter 9, verse 6 through Hebrews chapter 10, verse 30. I realize that that is an extended passage of scripture, but it is necessary to understand the topic that is before us that we have titled The Blood of Jesus. Now, verse 6 in Hebrews chapter 9, reading as follows. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which were called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you." Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. That is Hebrews chapter 9, verses 6 through 28. Next, we will read Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 30. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscious of sins. But in these sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, Lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above when he said, Sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sins thou wouldest not, neither hadest pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he might establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of the Father, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under the foot of the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. That's Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 30. So now we've read most of Hebrews chapter 9 and all of Hebrews chapter 10 in the lead-in to what we're going to talk about today. The book of Hebrews is the bloodiest book in the New Testament. It contains 20 references to blood. All of those references, with the exception of one, are to the blood of Christ in type, and also shadows or figures, or to the blood of Christ in fact. The types were pictures that showed over and over that the innocent had to die for the guilty, and that the guilty, folks, is us sinners. These offerings were repeated over and over and over again, whereas the sacrifice of Christ was a one-time event. These offerings were repeated over and over and over again, whereas the sacrifice of Christ was a one-time event. That's Hebrews 9, verse 12, Hebrews 9, verses 25 through 28, and Hebrews chapter 10, verses 10 through 18. Entries into the most holy place was denied without the blood. It is the most holy place where mercy is obtained. The sacrifice required the sinless blood of the Lamb of God, we see that in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. Without the shedding of his blood, there is no remission. That's Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. The veil in the tabernacle and the temple were representative of the flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 20. That is why the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom, as documented in Matthew chapter 27, verse 51, and also in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. Until the body of Christ was rent for us, we could have no access to the most holy place. We are instructed to come boldly before the throne of grace. We can come boldly before the throne of grace and into the most holy place because Jesus ever liveth to make intercession for us. That's Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, Hebrews 7, verse 25, and also Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Because of his blood, the Lord Jesus Christ is our eternal high priest. We see that in Psalm 110, verse 4, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 6, and Hebrews 6, verse 20, Hebrews 7, verse 17, and Hebrews 7, verse 21. The whole theme of Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 6, is that the animal sacrifices were not sufficient in the sight of God. See also Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. It is very instructive that church attendance comes up in the middle of a discussion about the blood of Christ. Hebrews 10, 25. Now, Hebrews 10, 29 should be considered in light of church attendance. Can it be that when we deliberately lay out a church that we are doing despite unto the Spirit of grace? Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made ye, you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. The church was was important enough for Christ that he gave his blood for it. And Acts chapter 20, verse 28 calls that the blood of God. Next up, Hebrews chapter 13, verses 11 and 12 describe the sin offering of Jesus as follows. Verse 11, for the bodies of these beasts, whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. The sin offering, folks, is described in great detail in Leviticus chapter 4, verses 1 through 21. The sin offering was given for the guilt of sin. That's Leviticus 4, verse 13. Leviticus 4, verse 12, Leviticus 4, verse 21, and Leviticus 16, verse 27 required that the sin offering had to be carried forth without the camp. That is the reason the Lord Jesus Christ was taken without the gate and crucified, because of our sin. The Lord Jesus Christ was raised from the dead through the blood of the everlasting covenant, according to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20, which reads as follows. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. That is Hebrews 13, verse 20. Now, according to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, salvation was made available to us through the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. That passage of Scripture reads as follows. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 2. Now, the blood of Jesus cannot be bought with money or works. God has stated the worth of the blood of Christ in 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 18 and 19, which read as follows. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That again is 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 18 and 19. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He is the perfect Lamb of God that is without blemish and without spot. And of course, we're referring to the Lord Jesus Christ here. Corruptible things such as silver and gold and our works cannot redeem us. All of our righteousness is as filthy rags before God. According to 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, and Revelation 7, verse 14, we who are redeemed have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Revelation 1, verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. Revelation 7, verse 14, and I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest, and he said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Revelation 7, 14. I would ask you this question. Are you washed in the blood, the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? The blood of Jesus Christ has a power to take away all our sins, past, present, and future. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. That's Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. According to Revelation 5, verse 9, the blood of Jesus will put a new song in your heart. We say hallelujah to that. That verse reads as follows, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Revelation 5, verse 9. The reason that many professing Christians do not have power in their lives is because they have not overcome the wicked one, the devil and Satan. There is power in the blood to overcome that old accuser. We have victory in the blood of Jesus, the sinless Lamb of God. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9 through 11 reads as follows. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. That's Revelation chapter 12, verses 9 through 11. The blood of Jesus is a scarlet thread woven through the pages of Scripture from Genesis chapter 3 all the way through Revelation chapter 12, verses 9 through 11. Sin made the blood atonement necessary. Sin put enmity between the seed of Eve and the seed of Satan, that old serpent. Genesis 3 verse 15 states this, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This prophecy in Genesis 3:15 is the very first prophecy concerning the coming sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ and the destruction of Satan. Now, the theologians refer to that verse in Genesis 3:15 as the proto-evangelium. Now, shortly after this statement in Genesis 3:15, an innocent animal had to be slain because of Adam and Eve's sin. This is fulfillment of the prophecy of enmity, this fulfillment of the prophecy of enmity first came to pass when Cain, the seed of Satan, murdered Abel. Why did Cain kill Abel? Cain slew Abel because Cain got angry over God's requirement for a blood sacrifice. Many in apostate American Christianity have gone in the way of Cain because they are demanding an ungodly, bloodless sacrifice. Then we have the other extreme in apostate Christianity that demands the daily re-sacrifice of Christ on their satanic altars through the ungodly sacrifice of the Mass. The scriptural answer to both heresies of a bloodless sacrifice and a continual blood sacrifice is that the blood is required, but only once. I repeat that the blood is required, but only once. Not only did God require a bloody sacrifice, but he also required the death of the sacrifice. The instrument of death was the old rugged cross. The cross is first pictured in Exodus chapter 12, verses 22 through 24, in the instructions concerning the very first Passover. Here's what we see in those verses. Verse 22, "And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever." That is Exodus chapter 12, verses 22 through 24. Now the lintel was the top post of the door. When the blood was struck across the top post and then down the two sides, it outlined a cross that both pictured how Christ would die and that the only way to everlasting life was through the door of the cross. In John chapter 10, verse 9, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "I am the door." He is the door, and since his blood is struck across the door, the eternal grim reaper who is death and hell and Satan cannot enter in. There are at least 50 Bible prophecies concerning the birth, ministry, crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. At least 18 of those prophecies were literally fulfilled in the birth and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. At least 29 of those prophecies were literally fulfilled in the 24-hour period leading up to and including the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. 3 more of those prophecies were literally fulfilled in the 50 days following his crucifixion. The statistical probability that all 50 of these prophecies would be exactly fulfilled by chance is 1 in 1, followed by 180 zeros. You heard that right, folks. Followed by 180 zeros. That would make it statistically impossible for them to have taken place by accident. What an amazing book the Bible is. Add to this the fact that the prophet Daniel predicted the exact day of the crucifixion at least 490 prophetic years before the event took place, and it adds a God-sized exclamation point to the accuracy of Bible prophecy. Now let's take a look at some of these prophecies. We're going to look first at Psalm chapter 22 and read verse 1, then we'll read verses 7 and 8 and also verses 14 through 18 of Psalm 22. Psalm 22, verse 1, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my mouth?" Verse 7, "All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake their head, saying, he trusted in the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him." Verse 14, "I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For the dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture." Now that's Psalm chapter 22, verses 1, verses 7 and 8, and verses 14 through 18. Next up we have Psalm verse 31, verse 5. And folks, these are prophecies about the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Record that in your mind. Psalm 31, verse 5. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. Next up is Psalm 34, verse 20. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Psalm 35, verse 11. False witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things that I knew not. Next up is Psalm 41, verse 9. Yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. That, of course, was Judas Iscariot. Psalm 41, verse 1. Next up, we have Psalm 55, verses 12 through 14. For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company. That's Psalm 55, verses 12 through 14. Next up we have Psalm 69, verse 4. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. Next up we have Psalm 69, verse 21. They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Next up we have Psalm 109, verses 24 and 25. My knees are weak through fasting, and my flesh faileth of fatness. I became also a reproach unto them. When they looked upon me, they shaked their heads. I want to remind you something about the Psalms, folks. A lot of the Psalms are referred to as Messianic Psalms, and what I've been reading from is some of those, because they contain verses that when they're read in context, you have to know that they are not about a mere man. They are about God himself. And in this case, it's the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God manifest in the flesh. Next up, we have Isaiah chapter 52, verse 14. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Zechariah chapter 11, verses 12 and 13. And I said unto them, if you think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter, a goodly price that I was prized at of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. Next up we have Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. And there's a follow-on to that in John chapter 19. I forget the verse where it is there, but also in Revelation chapter 1 you see it. Next up is Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. Next up, we're going to read one of the most familiar passages in the Old Testament dealing with the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you this about the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah is probably the most amazing book in the Old Testament when we start discussing the Lord Jesus Christ, because I refer to that book as the Gospel of the Old Testament. The Lord Jesus Christ is all over its pages, and I would encourage you to go and study that. That Holy One that appears 30 different times in the book of Isaiah, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is also referred to as the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, I think probably three or four different times in the book of Isaiah. And then we also see the phrase, my Redeemer, in one form or another, that occurs 13 different times in the book of Isaiah. And of course, in Isaiah 53, we have a pre-recorded record of, or prophecy of, the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to go and read that now. Who hath believed our report? This is verse 1. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and and was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. That is Isaiah chapter 53. Now all of these prophecies were fulfilled in every detail in the events involving the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, recorded in Matthew 26, Matthew 27, Mark 14, Luke 23, and John 19. That is amazing, folks. What a perfect King James Bible we have. God forbid that I should glory in anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Praise God for the blood of the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb to receive glory and honor and power. Worthy is the Lamb to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Bless the name. Bless the name. Bless the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Bless his holy name. If you're lost out there today, somebody loves you. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're lost out there today, somebody died for you. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're lost out there today, somebody will save you if you will repent of your sin and put your faith in him. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord, and he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. Only trust him. Only trust him. Only trust him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. God bless and Godspeed until we meet again. And thank God for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was the blood of the sinless Lamb of God. Thank you for joining us today.